Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by Wix. Get started now on your website by going to Wix.com. That's Wix.com/podcast. Get 10% off at Wix.com/podcast. It's official. Real Ghost Stories Online and the Grave Talks will be live at the Crescent Hotel for one night only, August 11th, 2019 at 7 p.m. And you are invited. I'm Tony Bruschi from Real Ghost Stories Online, and I can't wait to meet you at the Crescent Hotel this August 11th for an awesome night of ghost stories. We're going to have a lot of fun at the Crescent Hotel that night as we record an episode of Real Ghost Stories Online live. The stories on this episode come from you guys, the audience, live at the Crescent. Then it's a live episode of The Grave Talks as we talk with Crescent historian and paranormal investigator Keith Scales. We'll learn all about the history of the hotel, how it came to be, why it's haunted today, what goes on at the haunted Crescent Hotel, and allow you guys to ask your questions as well with a live Q&A segment. It's a fun night full of ghost stories at the historic haunted Crescent Hotel, a hotel that we've had many stories from shared about over the years here on the show. Tickets are only $25 a piece and are on sale now. Go to realghoststoriesonline.com and click on the Live at the Crescent Hotel banner to purchase yours. They are very limited, though, and when they are gone, they are gone. Real Ghost Stories Online and The Grave Talks live at the Crescent Hotel in Eureka Springs, Arkansas, August 11th, 2019. Get your tickets now at realghoststoriesonline.com. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, a newly married couple begins their marriage with a fright of their lives. Why did Grandma return when the holiday decorations came out? And does one person need a maintenance man or an exorcist? Those stories and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. You can write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or email your audio file to us. Send it to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you really like the show, you want to keep us on the air, get all the EPP bonus episodes of the show. Brand new ones come out every single week, only for supporters of our program. You can become an EPP, an extra podcast person. Just go to ghostpodcast.com and sign up there, or through patreon.com/realghoststories. $5 a month goes a long way, so you get all that bonus content. Free e-copy of our book, and exclusive advanced access to things as well. In fact, they just, a couple weeks ago, EPPs, I think, had their first kind of taste of advanced access, not only to our shows, because that's been going on for a while, but advanced access to tickets for stuff, which is kind of cool. And this is, I know the promo has been running now a little bit, but this is like the first episode that we're recording where I'm talking about this on the air. So I'm kind of excited about this. I don't even know what I'm talking about yet, do you, Carol?
Well, I was just going to say, do you want to fill us all in, Tony?
Maybe a little. I'll just leave y'all hanging, and then we'll just do a couple stories. I'll just like give like little archaic hints at it, and they can all guess, and then maybe I'll share it at the end or make everybody wait for the next episode. I'm not sure, but I'll give it away. So Real Ghost Stories Online, we have a live episode of the show that we're going to be doing August 11th. Of 2019, I have to say the year in case someone's listening to this in like 2023, at the Crescent Hotel in Eureka Springs, Arkansas. It is booked.
Oh, one of the most haunted hotels in the world.
Yes, and I'm very, very excited about it because it's haunted as hell. I've even had something weird happen to me there, but it's going to be fun. And it's very close to where we're at. And it's going to be a fun show. We're going to do a live episode of Real Ghost Stories Online where the audience can share their real ghost stories. That's going to be in place of callers or letters. It's going to be a really a kind of a one-on-one Q&A type style episode of the show, where we'll just go through whoever wants to share a ghost story and discuss all that on stage. And then we're going to do an episode of The Grave Talks with the resident historian and paranormal investigator, Keith Scales of the Crescent. And we're going to talk about the history of the hotel, learn about, you know, how it all started. It's got one hell of a history, if you're unaware of it, how it was it was like, I guess what you would call like a medical spa of its day, where people went there. I mean, it's not quite as spa-like as they are today, but people would go there and they thought they were going to get cured of cancer. This man claimed to have this cure. He was really a shyster, and a lot of people went there, spent their life savings, and ended up dying.
Back then, Eureka Springs was all about the springs and the natural water, so they claimed to have cures for everything. So all kinds of rich people would go there.
Yeah, and they went there, and they thought they were being cured, and then they'd be sent off to die. So it was really kind of a messed up thing.
I think I've told this story before, but I had a weird thing happen to me there, and I didn't even go inside.
Really? What happened?
Well, you remember when I took my dog on vacation? It was just me and my dog, and we went to Eureka Springs for a few days.
Yeah, that romantic getaway with the dog. I remember that. Yeah.
I was just I want to get away from the world. Me and my dog were going to Eureka Springs. So you can take dogs inside. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I'm going to take my dog into the Crescent Hotel.
Sure.
So we're driving right directly in front of it. I've got the windows down, listening to the radio, looking for a place to park. And the audio on my radio goes all the way down. So I was like, I looked at my radio. I'm like, well, that was weird. And didn't think anything about it. Turned up the radio, looking for a parking place, ended up turning around and going right back in front of the hotel again. As soon as I got in front of the hotel, the front doors, the radio starts going down, and on the screen, you could see it because it like counts it down, like 15, 14, yeah. 13, you know. I'm watching my radio. I don't have my hands on anything, and my radio is turning down by itself. And it never did that before, except the time, right, like 3 minutes before then.
Yeah.
And it never did it after that, just there.
It's like
So I'm like, I'm not taking my dog in that damn place.
Yeah.
There's no way.
I'd be really curious to see, you know, how an animal would react with something like that. Because
hell, it was with me too. Because I'm like, if you messing with me in my car, I'm sure as hell not going inside.
I had my credit card fly across the room in the ballroom, which is the same room we're going to be doing the show in. So maybe we can recreate that magic.
See if I can make it. That would be so fun.
It would be. It'd be awesome if you can make
it. Watch your credit card fly around.
Yeah, it'd be great fun. It would be great fun. It's going to be a fun night. So it's two shows. We'll do the Real Ghost Stories and then the Grave Talks. It's all part of the one ticket. So it's about a 3-hour event. We'll do one episode. And then we'll take a little break and kind of let everybody, you know, do their thing and then come back and then do the Grave Talks and then also kind of do a Q&A session as well with Keith about the hotel. It's funny. I was just if you want to get tickets, I should say that go to realghoststoriesonline.com. Click on Real Ghost Stories Online live at the Crescent Hotel. Big banner up there on the website. Click on that. Tickets are through Eventbrite, $25 a piece, and they are limited. So there's only so many, you know, tickets we're going to do for this. It's going to be a real intimate one-on-one evening. So if you want that, get them before they are gone. I put them on sale, to EPPs, and gravekeepers a couple days, in advance, when we started this, and they started to sell right then. So now that they're open to everyone, hurry and get them before they are gone.
So, when you do the live show, will you record it to air it at some future date?
That's the plan.
Okay.
That's the plan. It'll be my first time doing a live show. So, I'm going to find a way to get the audio captured and hopefully maybe even video. And then we can, you know, save that and make it like an EPP exclusive as well. So we will do our darndest at that. But obviously our goal is to have a great night there, but I'm sure we can figure out a way to get it all recorded as well.
But it's going to be fun. So tickets, check it out, realghoststoriesonline.com. And you can get them August 11th at the Crescent Hotel in Eureka Springs. Crescent also doing some room specials as well. The details on that are on our website. That's directly through them. So the night of the show, if you want to stay at the Crescent, they're doing some specials. Plenty of lodging options in the area. But hey, the Crescent's your deal.
Oh, but you want to stay there.
You do, of course. It's going to be... you got to. I mean, if you're gonna go and there's still rooms available, I highly suggest getting a room at the Crescent. It looks like it's going to be awesome. So do check that out. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. I do have an interesting story about the Crescent. We'll share in just a little bit. I just saw it last week of some interesting things they unearthed out back behind the hotel. Yeah. So,
ooh, we'll there's that church behind there.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a minute. It's good. So stick around for that. Let's jump over to our first story of the day. It says, as a young newlywed, my husband and I moved into a small one-bedroom unit on the top floor of an older high-rise apartment in Alexandria, Virginia. This was in the 1980s, after we had been there a few months. One night, I suddenly awoke from a sound sleep. I had the feeling someone else was in the room besides my husband and myself. I opened my eyes only to see a large, pale, white, cloaked, grim, reaper-like figure in my closet. Its face was a black void. It felt evil and menacing as it had faced me with its no-face face. I felt my heart race with terror. I closed my eyes, thinking to myself, I must still be dreaming. I slowly counted to three and opened my eyes again, and it was still there. As I was lying on my side facing the closet and not wanting to take my eyes off this menacing specter, I reached behind me to shake away my husband, whose back was to me. I shook him like a rag doll, but he wouldn't wake up. This is my husband, who used to wake up pretty easily. I squeezed my eyes shut and thought to myself, if I open my eyes and the thing is still there, I'm going to scream bloody murder. I opened my eyes again. A ready scream lodged in my throat, and thank God the Reaper was gone. I told my husband about it the next day, but he did not believe it. It was anything paranormal. He just thought I was dreaming. A few days later, we were taking a shower together. I got out first, and wrapped only in a towel, I was using the dim bathroom light to navigate my way to turn on the bedroom light. For some reason, we had only one bedroom light, and it was on the far side of the room next to the bed. However, when I reached the foot of the bed and the light, it suddenly went out. It was pitch black, and I couldn't see a thing. My husband and I both yelled out, "Hey, turn that thing back on!" to each other in unison. It was a moment of panicked silence, and we tried to figure out what was going on. My mind kept returning to the Reaper in my closet. My husband could hear that I wasn't near the bathroom when I yelled, and I could hear that he was still in the shower. There were three bulbs in the bathroom light fixture. They could have all blown at the same time, could they? Maybe a breaker somehow blown the power to the building? I yelled out, "Just a minute," and started blindly to feel my way back to the bathroom because I couldn't see in the pitch black. I had that tingly feeling that warned me that someone was near me, but supposedly it was only my husband and I in that room, and I could hear him splashing under the shower spray and his feet squeaking on the bathroom bottom of the tub. I stumbled my way back to the bathroom and flipped the light switch, and surprise, the bathroom light instantly came back on. I told my husband that the switch was somehow flipped off. He hopped out of the shower and saw that I was pretty frightened, so he then knew for sure that I wasn't joking with him. We searched the apartment together, but all the windows and doors were locked and no one was in the apartment with us. We kind of chalked it up to maybe the switch just wasn't clicked all the way in the on position, but because it happened only a few days after I saw the creature in my closet, I felt somehow it was connected. We found out sometime later that a man had committed suicide by jumping off of the roof of the building a year or two before us living there. I have no idea if it was connected to these events that I experienced, but it did increase the uneasy feeling we had about the apartment. After the blackout event in the bathroom, we would occasionally hear the balcony railing rattle or the balcony door rattle in the middle of the night, but never had anything so startling happen again. I never saw the creature in my closet again, but after that one event, I always kept my closet door closed at night, and I still do. I can't help but wonder what or who that Grim Reaper figure was and why it appeared to me. I'd love to know your thoughts on it. I love the podcast. I'm totally addicted. All right, back to the ghost stories in just a second. First, a big thank you to our supporter today, Wix.com. Go to Wix.com/podcast. Get yourself 10% off their services and your brand new website. These guys make creating a website so freaking easy. It really is. It's like if you're someone who does not have a ton of web knowledge, doesn't have a ton of design knowledge, or none at all, or maybe you have a ton of web knowledge and you're like, damn, I wish I could streamline things a little bit, make things a little bit easier. Wix.com is for you, no matter who you are. It makes it easy. If you don't know a whole lot, it makes it easy. If you know a whole lot, it's just like this simple solution that caters to every single person. Basically, if you're a human being who is making a website, who is managing a website for your business, your blog, whatever it may be, and you're an interested individual in saving time. Your time means something to you. And an interested individual in quality, in putting a great website out there, Wix is for you. Over 140 million people already know this fact. Wix.com/podcast. Get 10% off and choose from over 500 stunning templates. Or you can start from scratch. They have everything there for you. Hundreds of design features and apps to grow your brand online. Video backgrounds, galleries, menus, forms, lists, buttons, social bars, clip art strips. Stuff you used to have to like get from 40 different sources and then kind of put it all together and hope it all works together. It just works together when you got Wix going on. You can't go wrong. Unlimited storage, custom domain, email address for your business, email marketing tools, premium apps, dedicated support team. It's all there. Makes it so easy. Check it out for yourself. You can even try. You go for free. You don't even pay until you're like ready to say, all right, let's you know, hit the gas on this thing and make sure that this is exactly what we want. So check it out. Try it for free. Wix.com/podcast. Get 10% off. Wix.com. Wix.com/podcast. You're going to love it. You're going to love it. Today's episode of The Grave Talks is brought to you by StoryWorth. StoryWorth makes it easy and fun for your loved ones to share their stories with weekly emailed story prompts, questions that you've never thought to ask. For $20 off, visit StoryWorth.com. That's S-T-O-R-Y, Worth, WORTH.com/grave. When you subscribe, you get $20 off. How would you handle that? You see, you know, a Grim Reaper type figure. And that's interesting because it's such a, you know, almost cartoony type like figure that you would think of, ooh, spooky, here's a Grim Reaper. But that's what she's seeing. You know, how do you react to something like that?
Well, it's weird to me that something like that would only happen one time.
Yeah.
In that house. And the light thing, I like the way you try to explain stuff like that. You know, it's like, well, maybe the light switch. But I don't know, because so I have had dreams before where I, honest to God, thought something was happening that wasn't. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It seems like if you would see something like that, why wouldn't you see it again? You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I don't recall anyone who's ever in their story who saw the Grim Reaper. As far as I know, no one died afterwards. I know that's obviously like looked at as an omen of death of some sort. But it seems when we have Grim Reaper type stories, everyone survives. So that's, I guess, a good thing if you see the Grim Reaper. I guess maybe it doesn't always mean death. But I also wonder if it really truly is, you know, a Grim Reaper, or if it's just a ghostly like figure that's being interpreted as a Grim Reaper because it's something that shouldn't be there to begin with.
Yeah. Number one, that'd be the last thing you'd want to see. Mm-hmm. It's like, because it does seem like there should be something dark and foreboding that would happen.
Sure.
After you saw that. So is that exactly what you saw? Or that's why it makes me think, too, that it could have been one of those dreams that just seems so real. Mm-hmm. You know, even though she was shaking her husband and everything. It's just hard to tell.
It is.
I also wouldn't want to ever think that I did see the Grim Reaper. Like, why would the Grim Reaper show up to me?
I would be very paranoid after I'd seen it, just thinking and worrying of, oh my God, what's going to happen? I'd be like, I would stay homebound, and then I would like not want to get out of bed for fear I was going to trip down the stairs, or, you know, I was going to end up in a tragic microwave accident of some sort. It was...
I would be convincing myself with everything I had that is what I did not see that. Mm-hmm. It's like, it was dark. It was this, it was that. My husband, he didn't even wake up to see it. So I must not have seen it.
Yeah.
Like I would do everything to convince myself I had not seen it.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know that I would be able to do that, but I would certainly attempt to do that. Thanks for the story. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Okay, so here's that that thing that just happened at the Crescent Hotel in Eureka Springs. So they were doing some excavation in back of the hotel because they're working on putting in, I believe, an archery gallery back there. So they had to do a little bit of excavation. And back in the day, a little bit of history on the place, a man named Norman Baker, who owned the place, this is the guy who got arrested for fraud and who had all these, the cure for cancer and all of that. And he had that miracle thing that he would give the people and then hopefully get rid of their cancer, sometimes even cutting the cancer out of them. But then he would also save it in jars, pieces of the specimen, if you will. Anyway, what the records show was that the jars and all of that, at the time he got shut down, they were all taken to the local landfill. But it just said the local landfill. So everyone assumed it was this landfill in Rogers, Arkansas, which is not far away from Eureka Springs. Turns out there actually was a landfill behind the hotel. And that's where all these specimens were dumped. And so as they're excavating and getting the land ready for this new addition with the hotel, they start unearthing all these bottles. Many of the bottles still have some of the specimens in them. And yes. And others, they believe, still have some of his miracle cure in it as well.
So is it back there by the church? Between the hotel and the church?
You know, I'm looking at the pictures, and the pictures are just kind of like of the bottles and people holding them. So I'm trying to picture the area. I'm thinking it's got to be in that general vicinity. I don't know exactly where. But
that is the craziest thing back there, because you can see the Stations of the Cross and get really awesome pictures of them with that hotel behind them.
Yeah.
And that hotel, you know, that church was purposely put right there.
Whenever you need an exorcism, just walk on next door.
Exactly. Yeah. Convenience.
It makes me wonder, you know, if you're unearthing these specimens and there's literally, there's pieces of people in them. You know, there is. I mean, you're talking about a piece of a person that was cut off, you know, and it was put into a bottle and, you know, stored.
And may I add, cut off more than likely in a very unpleasant way.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you have to wonder, is this going to stir up more things at the Crescent? I would almost have to guess yes, but who knows? It's already a very active place, obviously. But you start doing that stuff, it makes you wonder.
Wow.
So there you go. Another layer of, oh my God, to the Crescent Hotel. Tickets, by the way, realghoststoriesonline.com. Click on the Real Ghost Stories Online Live at the Crescent, and you can see us August.
It would be really interesting to hear them talk about that.
I'm excited because this is a whole chapter in it that is brand new. I had him on the show, the historian, on the Grave Talks about a year ago, and it was a really interesting conversation about everything from this hotel, and there's another one that they own that's downtown, and the name of that one eludes me at this moment, but just, you know, great stories, just awesome haunted hotels with all sorts of lore and fact. There's a lot of the things that are fairly documented with these places, so it'll be really fun to dig into some of that and give you guys, the listeners, a chance to ask questions as well. So 855-853-4802, our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Continuing on with our stories of today. It says, hi, I've only recently started listening to your podcast, but have always been a massive fan of the paranormal and ghost stories, and I'm constantly trying to seek out people's experiences. In my life, I've had two experiences, one of them shared with my mom, which I'll tell you about now. I was younger, about 10, maybe, and was in our lounge while my mom was getting ready for work. It was the early 90s, so we had those lovely net curtains up against our windows. My mom came into the room and said, "What's that on the curtains?" I turned to look and saw what I could only describe as a shadow, which seemed to be the shape of a human torso and head. Of course, this didn't click at the time, and my mom and I thought it might be a big stain. We tried to clean it off and we're pulling at the curtains, scrubbing them, looking behind them, checking the windows. I even went outside to stand in front of the window to see if it was a shadow cast from something opposite the house. A chimney from another house, perhaps. Anyway, we couldn't figure out where it was coming from, so my mom and I continued to get ready for the day. My mom said she'd wash them later that day. As we were just about to leave the house, about an hour later, we stood with our coats on, about to walk out the door, and my mom said she wants to check if the shadow stain was still there. We both walked into the lounge, and lo and behold, it hadn't gone. At that moment, my mom said to me, "I bet it's your Nana. Come to tell us she's okay." I was so confused about how she had come up with that. A few months earlier, my Nana had passed away, and although I loved the idea of the supernatural at the time, I didn't even think something in this form would ever be real. My mom then went on to explain that the day before she was cleaning the house, and she was dusting Nana's ornaments that we had been given when she passed, she spoke out loud to her and said, "I hope wherever you are, you're okay and happy." She said she smelled a strong perfume scent while cleaning, but of course, put it down to cleaning products. The moment she said, "I bet it's your Nana," the shadow slowly started disappearing in front of our eyes. I was bewildered. I couldn't believe what I saw. As a child, I've been interested in ghosts, but this was just unbelievable. My mom and I knew at that point that it was our Nana coming to tell us she's okay. We've never had any more interaction from her after that day, but I still hold it as such a precious moment and love that she stayed until we realized it was her. Mom and I do feel awful for pulling and cleaning at her shadow, though. I hope she didn't mind. There you go. Shadow person, shadow Nana showing back up.
You know, those are the stories I love the most.
Yeah.
I do. That just makes my heart happy.
Yeah.
And the grandma would love that they were trying to debunk it.
Yeah.
And you know?
That would be so weird when you look at this thing. Like, why is there... It's not a stain. What the hell?
You know? It's grandma. Yeah. And then it goes away. That'd be crazy.
It'd be great. A new thing for OxyClean in the As Seen on TV commercials. OxyClean. Now we'll even get rid of grandma with extra sage. Like, we've added the power of sage to OxyClean. We'll get out the toughest stains, including dead relatives or demons.
Extra sage.
Extra demons. Sage. And then they get out the ghost of the
holy water.
They get out the ghost of the guy who used to do the OxyClean, or the one who died. What was his name? He was in so many. All of a sudden, he just like suddenly died.
Oh, yeah. I don't remember what his name was, but I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. He just kind of kicked it. And then the ShamWow guy kind of took over everything. That'd be great. He could come back for one final infomercial. The creepy story. Thank you for sharing that experience with us. Do you believe in numerology, Carol?
I don't really know how I feel about that, but there was somebody I used to hang out with years ago who was totally into it.
Mm-hmm.
And then she would try to explain stuff to me, but I don't know if it would just sounded like math, but I could never really get into it because it seems so complicated.
Yeah.
But she was totally into it all the way.
It's one of those things. I mean, I don't understand much of it. I get kind of creeped out when I hear some of the stories because it's like, well, that's just weird coincidences. And whether or not you believe in coincidences or not, I'm not one who could say, okay, and this means that, until it's like really, really obvious. But the day that we're recording this is April 15th. 2019. And today in the news, and as you hear this, this was several weeks ago, but the Notre Dame Cathedral fire has happened.
Oh, that breaks my heart.
Yeah. But there's a lot of weird shit, like big shit that's happened on April 15th in history. And I suppose, I don't know. I mean, it seems odd that there's that much. Titanic?
Like what? Titanic?
Titanic, and people will say, well, it's April 14th. Titanic struck the iceberg on April 14th. Titanic sunk on April 15th because it went over.
Yeah, it took hours.
So it's, you could say either day, you know, I guess you get like a double whammy there of whatever day you want to associate with it. But there you go. Titanic, the Abraham Lincoln died on the 15th.
He did.
Yeah.
You know how I love Abe Lincoln.
I know. You got all the Abe Lincoln stuff.
I do.
The Boston Marathon bombing was in 2013 on April 15th.
One of my friends was there today running in the Boston Marathon.
They did hold it today, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's, I mean, that's four of them. I'm just clicking on it. I posted it on our Facebook page to see if...
Those are four really big things.
I think there's some other interesting ones, too. Titanic. There is a massive flood in the Mississippi Valley in 1927. 15 inches of rain in 18 hours caused the Mississippi River to flood 27,000 square miles in 10 states. Singer Randy Newman's Louisiana 1927 song was written about it. Franklin Roosevelt was buried in the grounds of his Hyde Park home April 15th. He died from a cerebral hemorrhage on April 12th. Meteor exploded over Indonesia on April 15th, 1988. The blast witnessed, created a flash of light equivalent to the brightness of the sun. April 15th, 1989, the Beijing demonstrators ended as the government Tiananmen Square occurred. The list goes on and on and on. April 15th, 2014, 200 Nigerian schoolgirls were abducted with Boko Haram. It's just a lot of shit on this one day. It's like, if you want to pick a day that, you know, shit's, you know, what odds of shit going down, April 15th seems to be a pretty good day.
And just this fire, I've been to that church twice, that cathedral twice.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. And it's one of those places. Well, you know how I am with that stuff.
Yeah.
Like, what? A cathedral? I must go in. And so I went there twice. And it's one of those places you walk in and it just makes you stop. It, like, takes your breath away. It's so incredible. And you just walk in and you know you're in a very special place. So to watch it burn today was just really, really, really upsetting. Because then you also know if it was to ever reopen again, it would never be the same.
No.
So, you know, it's like you always say, oh, I'll get back to Paris, or maybe it's on your bucket list. You've always wanted to go there and someplace you've always wanted to see. And you just assume those places will always be there when it's been there since 1160.
I know.
You know,
it's just hard to even wrap my mind around an 850-year-old building.
Yeah.
You know,
and by the time this airs, there will be more information about it. But sure. At this point, the damage hasn't been assessed. It looks horrific.
Yeah. I mean, it looks like the roof has collapsed and the whole cross of the building as of this moment in time. But, I mean, it's just like, holy shit for something like that to...
Like, literally, holy shit.
Yeah, literally. Yeah. It's hard to wrap your mind around it. I think one of the more tragic things... it's going to sound horrible. And not at the same time, probably one of the things that has caused more destruction than anything else. Ray Kroc began McDonald's on April 15th, 1955.
What?
So if you're just, I mean, and you can take that a lot of ways of as far as, you know, people's diets and you know, death by, you know, consumption. I eat at McDonald's. I'm not truly, I guess, you know, bashing McDonald's. I have many of fond memories of having Happy Meals as a child there, but it's just kind of a funny one to throw into the mix, but it's true. April 15th, 1955. So there you go.
Okay.
They also discontinued mixed salad shakers on April 15th, 1990. And that one I'm making up. That one.
Oh, it's like, what?
The only healthy item ever on the menu was also discontinued on the same day. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to another story. It says, we were beginning to move out of our apartment when things started to happen. My sister, two nieces, and my parents, along with myself, all lived in that unit together, and no activity occurred until that point when we were preparing to move out. My folks went to stay at my brother's house since we were moving there, and my sister and my nieces left town for a few days, leaving me alone. I was a young adult, so that allowed me to have friends over for a few nights to have a few drinks. I had a group of about a dozen friends over, and I personally invited everyone. One of my friends brought along his cousin, who I'd never met before, was not expecting him. My friend never told me he was bringing anyone with him. But of course, I'm going to invite him in to hang out and have a few beers with us. He was friendly and nothing out of the ordinary snuck out. We ended the night, everyone left, and I went to bed. The next few days, it felt very uncomfortable being alone. But I shrugged it off and didn't think much about it. I went to work the following day and came home around 4 p.m. and hung out by myself till around 8 p.m. Went out to grab a pizza for dinner. We lived in the third floor of our apartment, and our sliding door and balcony faced Main Street. You can see if the lights are on in the unit whenever you drive up to enter the complex. When I left to grab food, I shut off all the lights because I made sure they were all off before closing the door and locking up. Upon returning from getting food, I looked at our apartment from the street, and of course, the light was on, even though I made sure they were off before leaving. I got chills as soon as I saw the lights on. I entered the apartment, searched all of the rooms, and of course, no one was there. It was too late for maintenance to come in, and it was very uncomfortable being there. I lost my appetite, but still late, and I turned on the TV just so there was background noise. Sat there for a few hours, paranoid as hell. I hesitantly slept alone that night, and it was tough falling asleep, but eventually I did. My sister and her kids came home the next day, and I told her about what happened. She was a little skeptical about what happened. Of course, she had an episode the next week while she was cleaning up in her bathroom, where the light turned on itself after she had left the room for a few minutes and came back. She immediately freaked out. Luckily, we moved out shortly, but I do believe my friend's cousin may have brought something along with him that night that decided to stick around. Any thoughts, guys? I would say it's hard to know because there wasn't any more evidence other than someone who you were unfamiliar with showed up, and then these things started happening. But
did she say, like, he was super creepy guy? No. Like, she had bad vibes the minute she saw him or something?
No, just a friendly guy. They hung out, had beers, went home, and didn't really know anything else about him.
I don't think it was him. Yeah. I don't. Because if he's a friendly guy, like, it seems to me if a guy would leave some kind of energy like that behind,
sure,
you'd kind of pick up on it a little bit. Like,
yeah.
Not friendly guy, we had some beers. It'd be like, he has a creepy. And then it would make sense.
There was always the friendly dog catcher in Park City, too. And
no, the entire town will tell you he was creepy. I think everybody thought he was creepy.
Dennis Rader, BTK, everyone. That's what we're referring to. Yeah, the BTK killer. What's interesting about him... or I shouldn't even say him, but what's interesting about Wichita, when all that went down, and I had moved to Wichita about a year or so after he was arrested and sentenced and all of that. So it was still very fresh on everyone's mind of it all kind of being revived because it had been dead for many years. And then all of a sudden that shit started happening again. Was that what I found, and you tell me what your thought is, because you were there much longer than I was. You're there. You have much more years in that city than I did. It seemed like a lot of people, like an unnatural amount of people, have a story that personally connects them to that man. Whether it was I was at my house and we heard the back door open and saw someone come in and got out and it looked like it was Dennis Rader, but we didn't connect the dots till years later, all the way to I used to run into him at the stoplight every day at this intersection or that intersection. I had so many stories that people told me that first year I was there of how everyone like somehow knew this guy. And it was like, this just seems either everyone's like making a little bit of this up to be connected to this horrible man.
Could be.
Or it's true. I don't know.
But he had a job installing security systems.
Okay.
So then he would go house to house.
Yeah.
Then he had a job, kind of dog catcher guy, but also I can't think of the title, like the guy who enforces city regulations, like your grass is too high. Yeah. You can't put that sign that close to the curb, that guy.
Okay.
Compliance officer, something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
So in that town that wasn't all that big, he would have interacted with a lot of people.
Sure. And I can see in that town, which is a little suburb of Wichita, just north of the city, that makes sense because it's not that big. But it was like everywhere. Anywhere I went, it seems so... Did you ever get that where it just seemed like everybody seemed to kind of somehow have a run-in with him?
I actually knew people who knew him.
Sure.
Yeah, because they went to church with him.
Okay.
And that was pretty creepy. It was like for them, it wasn't a huge church.
Yeah.
Like, and so it was pretty devastating to that church family.
Did any,
when they arrested him.
Did anyone back then, when all that went down, you know, we just talked about him like kind of being creepy, but did anyone get a creepy vibe out of him? You know, it's easy to say that after the fact, you know, when he's been arrested and we know what he did. But was there anyone who, you know, already kind of felt that way that you're aware of prior to all the shit coming down?
I do think so.
Really?
I do think so. Now, like my friends in church,
yeah.
I don't think they picked up on that at all.
Yeah.
But I think there's other people that he worked with and people that like he would pick on because their yard was too high, or, you know, like I think he was kind of obsessive about certain things and certain people.
Yeah.
And so I really do think there are people legit creeped out by him.
Yeah. That kind of knew there's something off. Not necessarily you're the killer, but there's something wrong with that guy.
And I don't think his family, like, that's too much to wrap your brain around.
Yeah.
You know, that I think he was very, very good at deceiving people.
Yeah. You'd almost have to be
showing them the side he wanted him to see.
Yeah. I have not seen the interviews. I know some interviews were recently done in the past couple months with his daughter?
His daughter. She wrote a book.
Yeah. Have you seen any of that?
Yeah, I have. And it's very interesting. And at the very end of one of the interviews I saw, she basically is like that she's forgiven him and still has some kind of relationship with him in prison. I don't know that I could do that.
Yeah.
You know, forgiveness. I don't think I could give him that. Like, if I did forgive him, it'd be my secret. Like,
sure.
He wouldn't know about it. So he did some horrific things.
I know.
Like, I drive by the house the family lived in several times a week. And that's horrific.
It is.
I don't know.
It's one of those things, you know, it's always like, oh, forgiveness, it'll set you free and all that. I don't know. There's a line in the sand for me with people, and they can do much less than murder people. And I will cut them out and I'll be done. I'll be like, no, I'm good. My life will be better without you. And
I was just having that. Maybe you and I were talking about that recently, because it was like, I don't really get the concept of forgiveness.
Yeah,
I get personally moving past something and having to let it go.
Finding some peace like with it yourself. But some things I don't think are forgivable. Some are just like, no, why would I forgive this?
I couldn't look at him and say, I forgive you for that. There's no way.
No.
Now, maybe in my heart, I've moved on and I'm not holding that anger anymore.
Yeah.
Maybe that could be forgiveness. But I certainly wouldn't tell him.
Yeah. Because I think there's a way of doing that. I think a lot of times it's said like, well, you need to forgive to move on. I don't know that you do. I think sometimes you can just find your peace and just kind of let go that you're not in control of this anymore and move on. And you know, the forgiveness doesn't have to be there. That's my take on it. It's an odd one.
Yeah, because I would want to walk away and never... I wouldn't want anybody to mention that man's name anything around me.
No, I agree. Anyway, somehow we got into BTK, but there we go. 855-853-4802. That's your true crime segment of our program for today. Let's go to another story. It says about 3.5 years ago when I was 15, my mother and I moved into a townhouse in a small, rich suburban neighborhood in the middle of nowhere. There were two previous owners. The one before us were a husband, wife, and their baby boy. And before there were a single man, no one knew much about him. Shortly after moving in, we decided to get the basement finished so that I could have my bedroom down there. It took months for the guy to finish it. He refused to work alone and would always come up with lame excuses why he couldn't come to work on it. When he was finally done, nearly a year after us moving in and I had settled into my room, that's when things started happening. At first, there were just simple things. I'd hear creaking or tapping, or papers would fall off my desk randomly. I have a large fan in my room that's on all the time, so I'd blame most things on that. Then when I was 16, it started to get real. It was a weekend afternoon and I was waiting for my boyfriend, now ex, to come over. I was lying in bed when I heard him coming down the stairs, so I pretended to be asleep for whatever reason. I was lying on my side facing the wall and felt him come into the bed with me. He was a big guy, so the mattress jiggled pretty drastically, and the bed creaked loudly. I felt him snuggle up to me and breathe on my neck. I lived there for a minute. I then decided to roll over and look at him. When I did, there was no one in the bed with me. There was no one in the room at all. My heart dropped and this unbelievable cold swept over me. I ran upstairs and didn't go back into that room alone for days. A couple of months later, I was lying in bed. A loud noise woke me up and I was home alone. I lied in bed and didn't move because I was so scared. I closed my eyes tight and tried to go back to sleep. Then I felt someone standing beside my bed. I could feel and hear them breathing right next to my face. I opened my eyes and no one was there. Little things happened after that, although I can't recall details. I tried not to think about it and kept my dog in the room with me, so I had her to blame for whatever the noises were that I heard. Then, about a year later, I was dreaming that I was lying in bed with my boyfriend, now my fiancé. In the dream, we were laughing and talking and whatnot, and then we heard my mom coming down the stairs. He wasn't supposed to be there, so I told him to hide in the closet. In the dream, I pretended to be asleep when my mom came in. Then all of a sudden, I felt something holding my wrists and pinning me down. I remember trying to scream and fight against it, but I couldn't. It was strong and no noise was coming out. Then I woke up and was still pinned and still couldn't make noise. After a few moments, it was over. I figured it was just a crazy nightmare. Nonetheless, I was terrified and called my boyfriend over to keep me company. The next morning when we woke up, I had four bruises on my left wrist. They looked like finger marks. My boyfriend said I probably just did it to myself in my sleep. I don't think I'm capable of squeezing myself so hard to leave dark bruises. But I forced myself to believe it and carried on. About 2 months later, my mom went on vacation, so I had my boyfriend stay with me. I hate having people sleep in bed with me. So I slept in my room in the basement, and he stayed in the guest room on the second floor. I just fallen asleep when I heard someone walking in my room. Then I saw a light shining on me. I booted up only to find my boyfriend standing there. He asked me if I was all right and I asked why. He said he heard loud banging coming from the basement. He thought I was being attacked or something. I hadn't heard anything but the fact that he was scared enough to scare me. So we went upstairs, grabbed a knife, sat on the couch in the living room. We were sitting there silently and could hear the banging coming from all around the house. We didn't know what to do. We weren't going to call the police because we knew there wasn't anyone in the house, at least not anyone living. Eventually, we just went up into the bedroom upstairs and locked the door and stayed in bed. The noises had stopped, but we ended up staying awake all night because we were terrified. Shortly after that incident, I was in my walk-in closet in my bedroom trying on clothes. In the closet, there's a door that goes into a room where our sub pump is. We never go in there. We had some folded up boxes in there, and I used to hide my empty liquor bottles in there, but I think it had been at least a year since that door had been opened. For some reason, I felt like trying to open the door. When I tried, the door handle wouldn't budge. It was like it was locked from the inside. I didn't feel like pressing the matter, so I backed away. As I was about to get out of the closet, something pushed on the door from the inside. Since I was home alone, I was so terrified that I had to leave the house immediately. When I got home later, I told my mom what happened. We went down to investigate and we easily opened the door and saw that there was nothing in there except for boxes and empty liquor bottles. My mom wasn't impressed, but I could tell she was just as scared as me. In March of 2011, I found out I was pregnant. This is when things started to escalate and became more frequent. I'd be sitting in the living room and would hear footsteps upstairs. Doors would close when no windows were open and large items would fall over on their own. Then in August, I saw the ghost for the first time. I was in my room one evening and came upstairs to grab something to eat. All the lights were off because my sister was visiting and watching a movie. I saw someone walking towards the back of the door and said, "Mom, what are you doing?" Figuring she was going out to the hot tub or something, she responded with, "Just watching the movie." I looked beside me to see her sitting right beside me on the couch. I looked back and the figure was still there for a moment, and then I turned on the lights and it was gone. I was so unbelievably scared I couldn't stop shaking. My mom and sister hadn't seen it, but they weren't looking. They didn't believe in ghosts at that time, but I think they were slightly terrified after seeing how scared I was. The next morning, my mom looked awful. She looked so tired and miserable. I asked what was wrong, and she told me that she hadn't gotten much sleep because she was kind of scared. I asked why, and she said the past two nights while she was lying in bed, she felt someone come into her bed and put her hand on the back of her neck. She thought nothing of it and just assumed she was dreaming the first night. But after what I saw the previous night and after it happened a second time, she knew there was something in the house. Then something happened the next night. We weren't sure if this was a ghost or a person. I'd moved my room upstairs to the top floor by this time, and around 2:30 a.m., my mom and I awoke to my dog barking hysterically. We went downstairs to see what she was barking at, and she was sitting at the back door, which is a glass sliding door. The back door leads to our long, narrow backyard, which backs onto a large field. All the lights were off in the house, so we went to the back door to see what was there. We saw a shadow go across the fence, and then our neighbor's motion-detecting light turned on. We could see through the cracks of the fence an object moving extremely fast towards the back field. It wasn't an animal. It was far too tall. We ran upstairs to look into the backyard, but nothing was there, and nothing was in the field. Things slowed down a bit after that. We'd still hear noises and whatnot, but nothing drastic. My son was born on October 30th, and things have started to pick up again. About a month ago, I was sitting on the couch with my baby, changing his diaper, and my fiancé was in the kitchen getting a drink. All of a sudden, my son's baby swing started to swing. It was turned off. All the windows were closed, and we were nowhere near it. A couple of nights later, I was lying in bed when I heard something on the baby monitor. It sounded like someone was in my baby's room. I tried to get up to check, but I couldn't move. I was completely paralyzed. I looked over towards my bedroom door, and through the crack at the bottom, I could see movement. It was extremely fast, almost like flickering from a flame of a fire. A few minutes later, I could move again. I ran out of my baby's room. There was no one there. My baby was safe and sound asleep in his crib. Then, 2 weeks ago, the most disturbing thing yet happened. My son was lying on his back on the couch, just cooing and kicking his feet. I was sitting beside him, coming back to him and texting his dad. Then he stopped. He stopped moving and making noises abruptly. And when I looked at him, his arms and legs stretched out and very stiffened. His whole body started to shake. It was like someone was trying to pick him up and shake him. Then he started screaming as I've never heard before. He was crying and inconsolable for a few moments. The next day it happened again. I've never been quite so terrified. I never leave my baby alone. I had him start sleeping in my room again, and I take him to the washroom with me. During the day, he naps in my arms. Over the past week, I've been spending a lot of time at my fiancé's house because I can't stand to be here. The one night I slept over at my mom texted me around 11 p.m. She asked what I was doing, and I told her I was watching a movie with my fiancé. Her response was, "I thought you were home. There's loud banging downstairs. Sounds like there's a bunch of people here." She went down, and no one was there. Nothing had moved. The next night, I was just about to go to sleep when someone started frantically banging on my door. I asked who was there. No one answered. I texted my mom and asked if it was her, since she was the only one home. My text had woken her up. She was in bed. It's been a few days without an incident, but I'm terrified. I don't know what to do. If ghosts want to mess with me, that's fine, but when my baby is involved, something needs to be done. What should I do? Now Carol has the life-saving answer.
Move in with your fiancé.
Yep.
I could have a kid, but if I did have a kid, there is no way I would leave my child in that kind of environment. There's no way. Oh. And if she feels safer at her fiancé's house, absolutely. I would move in with the fiancé. And maybe that's not like, and maybe it's against her religious beliefs or something, then get that marriage sped up.
Yeah, I mean, I think when this sort of shit starts hitting the fan, you know, of your baby being picked up by an entity and him being freaking out, I mean, God knows what else it can do to the baby if it's trying to shake it. I think everything's kind of out the window in terms of, you know, well, I don't believe, you know, in the... Then also, I don't think there's anything in there about your baby being picked up by unseen entities either. So I think,
if your child was in any other situation that was dangerous for the child, you would remove the child from the danger.
Yeah,
that's the first thing that has to happen.
No, yeah, exactly.
The child has to be removed from the danger, whether you want to deal with it or not.
You got to do it.
Because as soon as, before she even brought up the baby in those experiences, I'm like, well, she's got a fiance. They need to move.
Yeah, either do that or go. I mean, at that point, I'd be going down to the hotel down the street or something and staying there until, you know, I could get in and move in with my fiance. Just getting out of that environment, I think, is the most important for that baby. Because that's, you know, there's something obviously attracted to it. And it sounds like when they're not at the house, things calm down. So that's good. I mean, that's you know, showing it's not necessarily following her. But, you know, if that's the case, even more, I think, incentive to get the hell out of there before something does kind of latch on to her or the child and does follow them. If it's not following them yet, get out while you can.
Oh, my God, yes.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that that experience with us. That was one of those situations you just never want to have to contemplate being in. Do appreciate that. If you want to share your ghost stories with us, you do it on our website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or you can call them in. Use your own voice 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. 855-853-4802 is the phone number to call and share your real ghost stories with us. We would love to hear them. And of course, if you really like the show, you want the bonus episodes, you want to support this thing, keep it on the air, costs less than the cost of one cup of coffee or about 42 Fantas. $5 a month is all it is. Got to be just real with what it could cost. So depending what Fanta's worth to you, $5 a month, sign up, become an EPP extra podcast person over at ghostpodcast.com. Keep us on the air, get all those bonus materials, and you know, support this program. We love doing it. Can only do it with your support. Live show August 11th at the Crescent Hotel in Eureka Springs. Tickets on sale. RealGhostStoriesOnline.com. Go click there, and we'll see you there. Tickets are limited. Get them before they sell out. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.